Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Maseches Pesachim Daf Ayin Tes, the seventh parak, Ketzad Solin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Nitma Kahal Urubo, if the community or its majority became Tameh, or Sheyeh Kohan Tameim V'Kahal Tahorim, or the Kohanim were Tameh, and the community was Tahor, Yas B'Tumah, they all make the Pesach offering in Tumah. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches, V'Afil Yisrael V'Kohanim Tahorim V'Klisharis Tameim, Yas B'Tumah She'en Karban Sibur Chaluk, even if the majority of the Jews and the Kohanim were Tahor, but the Klisharis were Tameh, all the people, whether Tahor or Tameh, make the offering in Tumah, because the communal offering brought in Tumah is not divided. Now Rav Chissa said that this only applies Shenitma Asakim B'Tameh Meis, where the knife or the other kli became Tameh through contact with someone who had contact with the mace. The knife is then Metameh, the one who is doing the shechting, so that when the Pesach offering is made, B'Tumah Saguf Tekaris K'Masavid, it's made by people who are in a state of body Tumah, who would be subject to karis if not for the special dispensation that applies to communal tumah. Now, since the avodah of the Pesach is being done by people whose bodies are tameh, those who are previously tameh may also participate in it. This then does not apply if the kli was touched by a sheret, since it's not metameh that people bring the carbon and they remain tahor. Therefore, those who are tameh may not join them. Rava disagrees and says it also applies in the case of a sheret. Point number two, there's a machlokas in a case where the Jews were evenly divided with half of them in tahor and half of them tameh. Rav says, mechso al mechso karov, a case of half and half is treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, halu osin l'atzman, v'halu osin l'atzman. The Tahor ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves, and the tameh ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves. Rav Kahana said, mechso al mechso ain't a karov. In a case of half and half, each segment is not treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, tahorin osin as rishon, tameim osin as sheni. Those who are Tahor make the first Pesach offerings. Since a minority group of Tahorim are never exempt from making the first Pesach, those who are Tameh make the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara brings a second version of Rav Kahana's position that those who are Tameh make neither the first or second Pesach. They don't make the first Pesach because they're not the majority, which would allow them to bring it in Tumah, and they don't make the second Pesach because they were not the minority. And point number three, the Gemara brings braises that supports Rav's position and the two versions of Rav Kahana's position. The middle braises supports the first version of Rav Kahana, that the Tameh half is deferred to Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara asks how Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana would explain it. The Gemara answers that the case was where they were evenly divided between Tahor and Tameh, but the majority of men were Tahor, but Nashim Mashlimos L'Tameim, and when the women were included in the count, they filled in the missing number of Tameh people and brought the total to exactly half. And the Tana of this Braisa holds, Nashim Barishon Rishus, the participation of the woman in the first Pesach is optional. Therefore, you must subtract the woman from the count of those who are Tameh, with the result that those who are Tameh are actually the minority of the ones who are counted, and the rule is that the minority is deferred to Pesach Sheni. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Nitma Kahal Urubo, if the community or its majority became Tameh, or Sheyeh Kohan Tameim V'Kahal Tahorim, or the Kohanim were Tameh, and the community was Tahor, Yas B'Tumah, they all make the Pesach offering in Tumah. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches, V'afil Yisrael v'kohanim tahorim v'klisharis tameim, Yas B'Tumah she'en karban sibur chaluk, even if the majority of the Jews and the Kohanim were Tahor. But the klisharis were Tameh, all the people, whether Tahor or Tameh, make the offering in Tumah, because the communal offering brought in Tumah is not divided. Now Rav Chissa said that this only applies Shenitma Asakim B'Tameh Meis, where the knife or the other kli became Tameh through contact with someone who had contact with the mace. The knife is then Metameh, the one who is doing the shechting, so that when the Pesach offering is made, B'Tumah Saguf Tekaris K'Masavid, it's made by people who are in a state of body Tumah, who would be subject to Karis if not for the special dispensation that applies to communal Tumah. Now, since the avodah of the Pesach is being done by people whose bodies are Tameh, those who are previously Tameh may also participate in it. This then does not apply if the kli was touched by a sheret, since it's not metameh that people bring the carbon and they remain tahor. Therefore, those who are tameh may not join them. Rava disagrees and says it also applies in the case of a sheret. Point number two, there's a machlokas in a case where the Jews were evenly divided with half of them in tahor and half of them tameh. Rav says, mechso al mechso karov, a case of half and half is treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, halu osin l'atzman, v'halu osin l'atzman. The Tahor ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves, and the Tameh ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves. Rav Kahana said, mechso al mechso ain't a karov. In a case of half and half, each segment is not treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, Tahorin osin as Rishon, Tmeim osin as Sheni. Those who are Tahor make the first Pesach offerings. Since a minority group of Tahorim are never exempt from making the first Pesach, those who are Tameim make the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara brings a second version of Rav Kahana's position that those who are Tameim make neither the first or second Pesach. They don't make the first Pesach because they're not the majority, which would allow them to bring it in Tumah, and they don't make the second Pesach because they were not the minority. And point number three, the Gemara brings braises that supports Rav's position and the two versions of Rav Kahana's position. The middle braise supports the first version of Rav Kahana, that the Tameh half is deferred to Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara asks how Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana would explain it. The Gemara answers that the case was where they were evenly divided between Tahor and Tameh, but the majority of men were Tahor, but Nashim Mashlimos L'Tameim, and when the women were included in the count, they filled in the missing number of Tamei people and brought the total to exactly half. And the Tana of this Braisa holds, Nashim Barishon Rishus, the participation of the woman in the first Pesach is optional. Therefore, you must subtract the woman from the count of those who are Tamei, with the result that those who are Tamei are actually the minority of the ones who are counted, and the rule is that the minority is deferred to Pesach Sheni. All right, so now we got our Simfer Daf Ayin Tes, and our standard Simon is an 8, a pen, but we use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The senior scribes were busy counting how many kalim had become tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people tahor and the other half tamei were in a quandary whether to include the woman. Once again, in slow motion. The senior scribes, that must be one daf ayin tes. The senior scribes were busy counting how many kalim had become tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches that even if the majority of the Jews and the Kohanim were tahor, but the clay sharis were tamei, all the people, whether Tahor or Tameh, make the offering in Tumah because the communal offering brought in Tumah is not divided. Rav Chisa said that this only applies shen nitma sak mitameh meis, where the knife or the other kli became Tameh through contact with someone who had contact with a mace. The knife, therefore, is then mitameh, the one who's doing the shechting, so that when the passing offering is made, but Tumah is a guf to karis kam misafet, it's made by people who are in a state of body Tumah, who would be subject to karis if not for the special dispensation that applies to communal Tumah. Since the avoda of the Pesach is being done by people whose bodies are tamei, those who are previously tamei may also participate in it. This din does not apply if the kli was touched by a sheretz, since it's not matamei, the people bring the carbon and they remain tahor. Therefore, those who are tamei may not join them. Rava disagrees and says that it also applies in the case of a sheretz. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kalim had become tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people tahor and the other half tamei, which reminds us, there's a machlokes in a case where the Jews were evenly divided with half of them tahor and half of them tamei. Rav says, Mechzal Mechzal Rov, a case of half and half is treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, Halu Osin L'Atzman V'Halu Osin L'Atzman. The Tahor ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves, and the Tamei ones make the Pesach offerings themselves. Rav Kahana said, Mechzal Mechzal Ainaka Rov, in a case of half and half, each segment is not treated like a majority. And the Gemara explains, Tahorin Osin L'Sarishon U'Tmeim Osin L'Sasheni. Those who are Tahor make the first Pesach offering, since the minority group of Tahorim are never exempt from making the first Pesach, and those who are Tamei make the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara brings a second version of Rav Kahana's position that those who are Tamei make neither the first or second Pesach. They do not make Pesach Rishon because they're not the majority, which would allow them to bring it in Tumah, and they don't make Pesach Sheni because they're not the minority. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become Tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people tower and the other half Tamei were in a quandary whether to include the woman, which reminds us. The Gemara brings braises that supports Rav's position and the two versions of Rav Kahana's position. The middle braises support the first version of Rav Kahana that the Tamei half is deferred to Pesach Sheni, and the Gemara asks how Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana would explain it. The Gemara answers that the case was where they were evenly divided between Tahor and Tamei, but the majority of men were Tahor, but Nashim Mashlimos L'Tameim, and when the women were included in the count, they filled in the missing number of Tamei people and brought the total to exactly half. And the Tana of this Braisa holds, Nashim Barishon Rishus, the participation of the woman in the first Pesach is optional. Therefore, you must subtract the woman from the count of those who are Tamei, with the result that those who are Tamei are actually the minority of the ones who are counted, and the rule is that the minority is deferred to Pesach Sheni. So once again, the senior scribes are busy counting how many kalim had become Tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people tower and the other half Tamei were in a quandary whether to include the woman. All right, now it's time to go to our four-block back Chazara. Daf Ayin Hey. So the Simra Ayin Hey is an Am Haaretz. So here goes. The Am Haaretz, that must be one Daf Ayin Hey. The Amma'arts, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, if one cut the pesach and placed it over coals, Rebbe said he considered it fire roasted. Rashi explains that he didn't cut the carcass apart, but rather he sliced it in several places so that it would roast quickly. Rav Chisa was asked if, in fact, Rebbe says coals are considered like fire, since the Torah stated, by Metzora, the word mikveh, burn, twice, it teaches us that saras on a burn also applies to a burn from a coal. So if the Torah had not included it based on the repetition, then one would not consider coal equivalent to fire roasted. So how could Rebbe consider a pesach roasted on coals fire roasted without a special pasuk including in the pesach? Rav Chisa replied that concerning a coal from wood, no pasuk is necessary. The pasuk was only needed to include a gachel shel maseches, coal produced from metal. So the Amma'arts, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead, which reminds us. The Gemara brings the Gezer Shava, Sreifa Sreifa Bnei Aaron, burning burning from the burning of Bnei Aaron, to teach how someone condemned to burning is burnt, just as the burning refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact, so too here it refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. The Gemara asks why one needs to be burned with molten lead when immersing the person in boiling water would suffice, and answers that it's because of Rav Nachman's teaching, Amar Kra, Bahavtarecha Kamocha, the Torah teaches you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Barulo Misayaf, choose from a favorable death, death by means of molten lead is less painful. So the Amma'arts, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead in front of the Kohen Gadol, who was carrying a shovel full of hot coals. Which reminds us, Rava asked if Rebbe actually said coals are classified as fire based on a conflicting brisa regarding the shovel full of fiery coals that the Kohen Gadol takes in the Kodesh Kodashim that seems to indicate flickering coals are not considered fire. So Rava resolves the contradiction by reinterpreting the brisa. If the Torah had only said a gachale, it might be thought he should bring smoldering coals, not flickering ones. Therefore, it states eish. If it only stated eish, it might be thought he may take a burning piece of wood that is half coal and half flame, so that by the time he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, it should be entirely coal. Therefore, the Torah states, and he shall take a shovel full of fiery coals from atop the Mizbech. This teaches that from the time of taking from atop the Mizbeach, they should be coals. According to this interpretation, the Brice agrees with the Rebbe that a flickering coal is classified as fire. Daf Ein Vav. So the Simra Ein Vav is IV, intravenous. So here goes. The patient who is treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. Once again, in slow motion. The patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag. IV bag? That must mean we're on Duff Ein Vav. The patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, which reminds us, if something hot fell into something cold or something cold fell into something hot, where the absorption would make it forbidden, such as meat with milk or iser v'heter, there's malchokas. Rav says, ilal gavar, the upper one dominates, which Rashi explains means that if something hot falls into something cold, the upper one heats up the lower one before the lower one can cool it. Since they are then both heated, they absorb from each other. On the other hand, if something cold fell into something hot, the falling one cools off the lower one before the lower one can heat the falling one. Shmuel says, tatal gavar, the lower one dominates. So the patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, sonu eto sonen medir. If something cold is placed into something cold, one merely rinses it. And Rav Huna said that he taught this only concerning a case where one had not salted the forbidden item. But if one had salted it, the other one is forbidden. For Shmuel said, maliach hayukaraseach. That which is salted is like that which is hot, which means that salted food has the same capacity as hot food to transfer its juices. However, it doesn't absorb juices like hot food. Therefore, if the permitted component was salted, it would not absorb the prohibited juices. Shmuel also states, kavush harukamavushal, that which was marinated is like that which is cooked. So the patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables, and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. Which reminds, Rav said, basar shchut shaman shetzal im basar nevela kachush aser. If fatty meat of a shechted animal was roasted in an oven, together with lean meat of a nevela, it is forbidden. They are fattened by each other. Rashi explains that the two meats do not touch, yet the kosher meat absorbs the aroma of the nevela. Now, even though the lean nevela doesn't give off a strong aroma, it absorbs the aroma of the fatty kosher meat, is subsequently fattened, and then emits aroma which is absorbed by the kosher meat. Levi said that even if lean meat of a shechted animal was roasted together with the fatty meat of an avela, it's permitted because recha ba'almahu v'reach lav milsa. This is a case involving the transfer of aroma, and aroma is not a factor. Daf Ein Zayin. So the simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat, an eis. So here goes. The long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tuma is duchuya b'tzibur, and who was checking to make sure that neither the blood nor the basar were disqualified. Once again, in slow motion. The long line of various goat offerings. Goat? That must be more in Daf Ein Zayin. The long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma, which reminds us that the Gemara explains why the word ma'odo was brought so many times to teach that the tami, pesach, musafim, omer, shtei, and lechem are docha tuma and Shabbos. So the long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tuma is duchuya b'tzibur. Which reminds us, the Gemara mentions regarding the Amoraim in the Yeshiva that they presume the lechuli alma tuma duchuya hi b'tzibur, that all are in agreement that tuma is overridden rather than permitted in regard to the community ubay tzitz or ratzos, and therefore the tzitz is needed to affect acceptance for the korbanos brought in a state of tuma. Rashi explains that even though the Torah permits the korbanos to be brought in a state of tuma, it's not a het gamur, and therefore it's only permitted if tahor kohanim cannot be found, and it also still requires the tzitz to affect acceptance. So the long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tuma is duchuya b'tzibur, and it was checking to make sure that neither the blood nor the basar were disqualified. Which reminds us, the Amoraim and Yeshiva also presume that all agree that ein hatzitz meratza al achilos, that tzitz is not meratza on the part of the offering that is eaten, and suggest therefore that the Mishnah is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, for it was taught in the Braisa, the pasuk states, vasisa olasecha habasar vahadam, you shall make your ola offerings, the meat and the blood. Rabbi Yeshua says, im ein dam, ein basar, im ein basar, ein dam. If there is no blood, because it's been disqualified from being thrown in the Mizbeach, its meat may not be burnt on the Mizbeach, and vice versa. The Gemara explains that since Rabbi Yeshua says that we need the blood and the flesh to be valid in order for the blood to be thrown, and it was stated that it is presumed that when the tumah exists, that tzitz is not meratz on the part which is eaten, making it invalid, how can any offering be brought in a state of tumah? The Gemara concludes Rabbi Yeshua was referring to a karban yachid, whereas the Mishnah was referring to karbanos of the tzibor, where the tumah is hutra b'tzibor, retracting the original presumption of the Amoraim. Daf Ein Ches, so the simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tameh, making it Pasul, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Once again in slow motion. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh. A child going ugh, that must mean one Daf Ein Ches. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends, which reminds us, the Gemara goes through a lengthy attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yossi, who holds Ein Atzitz Maratza Achilos, with the Mishnah, and suggests that Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra Batzibur, and therefore the power of the Tzitz is not needed to permit communal offerings to be brought in the state of Tuma. This explanation is rejected based on a braisa that states regarding the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur or to burn the Paraduma, Mazin Alav Kol Shiva Mikol Chatosha Yusham Divrei Bimer. Bimer says he would be sprinkled all 7 days of his preparation, and Rabbi Yossi says they would only sprinkle him on the 3rd and 7th day. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra Batzibur, why is Hazan Nida at all? The Avodah of Yom Kippur is communal, and therefore there should be no concern of Tuma. The Gemara concludes the Mishnah does not go, according to Rabbi Yossi. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of its pretend Pesach was Tameh, making it Pasul. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nitma Basa V'chelv Kayim Eino Zorikas Adam. If the meat of an individual's Pesach became Tameh, and the chelv remains Tahor, one does not do Zorikas Adam. Rashi explains that this is true even according to Rabbi Lezer, who ruled that typically blood can be thrown even if no other part of the carbon is valid. Since the primary purpose of the Pesach is that it be eaten, it has no purpose if the meat is unfit, and therefore may not be done. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tameh, making a puzzle, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Which reminds us, the Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav that in a case where the Pesach meat became Tameh, imzarek hurtza, if one threw the blood on the Mizbeach, the offering has gained acceptance and the owners are exempt from a Pesach sheni. The Gemara asks regarding the requirement to eat the Pesach and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nasan, who says that achil lo ma'akpa, eating is not essential to attaining acceptance. The Gemara seeks the source of Rabbi Nasan's opinion, and after rejecting the first source, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches that if one group registered for the Pesach and the group had so many members that there was only kazayis for each, and then a second group registered, even though there would be nothing for them to eat, the Tanna Kamma holds the latter group must bring a Pesach sheni, whereas Rabbi Nasan holds that both groups are exempt, shekvar nizrak adam, since the blood has already been thrown with him, registered upon it. We see from here that Rabbi Nassim holds it's not essential that the meat of the Pesach be available for eating in order to fulfill one's chiyuv. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that there's a Tanu who holds that Nashim on the first Pesach is Rishus? That's on daf Ein Tes. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that with Tumah Dechui B'Tzibur, the Tzitz is still required to be Meratzeh? That's on daf Ein Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do the Melchuk's Rav Chis and Rava whether the din when Kaisharitz or Tameh, if everybody brings a Pesach into applies to Tumah from a mace or also from a Sheretz? That's on daf Ein Tes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn why a Shaput Shel Rimon was used and not a metal spit? That's on daf Ein Dal. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn that Shmuel said a Maliach Haruka Raseach and Kavush Haruk Mavushal? That's on daf Ein Vav. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn that Rabbi Shua holds it mean dam in Basar, in Basar in dam? That's on daf Ein Zayin. Good. Number 7. Wish that they know the one who shechts the Pesach on Shabbos for those who cannot eat it has done something constructive in that once it's Zimran go up in the Mizbeach, they should not go down. That's on daf Ein Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf with Melchuk is whether Mechsa or Mechsa Karov or not. That's on daf Ein Tes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we see from the fact that Rabbi Yossi requires the Kohen Gadol to have Hazah on the 3rd and 7th days? He does not hold Tumah Hutra with Tzibur. That's on daf Ein Ches. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we Melchuk is Rav and Shmuel, whether Ilagavar or Tatagavar? That's on daf Ein Vav. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that Kol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yir Shemayim? That's on daf Lamed Gimel and Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss a water canal and Amos Amayim passing through a Chatzer? That's on daf Pei Zayin and Erevin. Good. And number 3. Which daf do we learn about Toldos Achama? That's on daf Lamed Tes and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.